turn to the book of Luke. We are currently in the 22nd chapter, and as I said in my prayer, we're following the footsteps of Peter. Peter, as you know, in his first epistle, he addresses himself, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, there was a road that took Peter along from the day that he was called out of darkness on that seashore. The day of the power of God, just as there was a day of the power and love of God for each and every one of us and each and every one of His chosen. To be given that light, to be given that life, that we would hear Him call us and say, come. And with the power of God, just as Peter came immediately, we too came willingly, immediately. In our last study, our Lord instructed the 12, having just observed the Passover feast. Read with me, if you would, verses 36 and 37 of Luke chapter 22. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Now in verse 37, we pause for just a moment to look closely at this statement, this that is written must be accomplished in me. And we set our focus last week on one of the many points in God's word where the word must is used. We looked at ye must be born again. Another must is seen in John 4:4. We read that the Son of God must go through Samaria. I brought out how wonderful it was that our Lord and Savior must go through rescue. That the day of His love came for John Reeves, Kathy Reeves, and many others to come to this little building that God has supplied here in the hills and hear His word preached. Just as that lady had to come to the well at that very time to collect water, but yet she collected more than water, didn't she? The Lord gave her life that she would hear the truths of who He is, the living water. Our Lord must go through Samaria because the time of love had come for a chosen sinner in that part of the country. I am so thankful, once again, that our Lord must needs go through rescue. When the appointed time of love has come, the time in which the chosen redeemed sinner shall be born again, then our great God and compassionate Savior must needs go to where the chosen redeemed sinner is and give life to the object of His love. And here's the point about must. If our Lord says it must, it shall. Election marked the house into which Christ must come. Predestination set the time of His coming. Blood atonement paved the road on which He would come. Henry Mahan. Providence brings Him to the appointed house at the appointed time, and efficacious grace brings Him in. We find those very thoughts in Isaiah 55:11. Allow me to read for you, if you would, for Isaiah 55:9-11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it. That's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? That's pretty plain and simple. You can't take that and interpret it some other way. The Lord is very clear. It shall accomplish that which he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. Here in Luke 22:37, the Son of God tells us of the absolute necessity of his death upon the cursed tree as our substitute. He says that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. The Son of God must die as he did because the scriptures must be fulfilled. Turn over to this 22nd Psalm. You can hold your place in Luke for just a moment. Turn over to 22nd Psalm for just a moment. Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53 are parallel scriptures written a great distance apart by two different men. The particular passage that our Lord quotes here is from Isaiah 53:12, where we read this, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Look at verse 1 here of Psalms 22. Yes, this is a psalm of a man written by David. But as all the psalms are, they are about our Lord and Savior, just as all the scriptures are. From the book of Genesis all the way to the end of Revelations, it's all about our Lord and Savior. They call it a messianic psalm. In verse 1 we read this, "Picture my Lord hanging on the cross. Picture him in the garden, bent down, crying unto the Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb, thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gapped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roar and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a posterd, and my tongue cleaveth for my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they looked up and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yea, that ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down into the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. We see clearly in this psalm the declaration of what our Lord must do. This wasn't the first time our Lord made this declaration, though, is it? No, he made it in a covenant with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit before the world ever was. God looked down through time and saw what his Son did and counted him faithful. It shall be done. It must be done. For God's word said it should be done. Our Lord and Savior came into this world with a commission. He was on a mission of mercy. He came for you and I as our surety. Think about that. Because it was the blood of God shed upon that tree, we have a surety that cannot fail. Those for whom God the Father gave God the Son that he went to the cross for and shed his blood for shall, must be in eternity forever with him. The death of our Lord was no accident. It was not something which came to pass because of man's free will or because the Jews would not let him be their king. No, the Lord Jesus died at Calvary because he must die at Calvary. As he himself declared back in chapter 9 of this very same book of Luke, verse 22, we read this. He said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. This very thing of our Lord becoming... This very thing of our Lord becoming flesh, being made sin for you and I, was a necessity. You know what that word means? The word necessity? It means binding. It had to be. It was necessary. It means must. It is used to describe that which is absolutely vital. Why? Why is it absolutely vital that our Lord must come to the cross, must shed his blood? Why must this Holy One be made sin for you and I? Why must this Savior be put to death? Well, our Lord tells us that his death as our substitute was necessary. He says, because the Scriptures said so. It's necessary because it's his word. That was what his word was. He declared hundreds of years earlier he was reckoned among the transgressors. And that declaration must be fulfilled. If one thing our Lord said was not fulfilled, could we still call him Lord? That's why putting the salvation in the hands of man's free will is ridiculous. We can't count on our brothers for anything. No offense to anybody. But you can't count on me either. I'm flesh. Our Lord said he was reckoned among the transgressors, and that had to be. But there are also some other reasons that made his sacrificial sin atoning death upon that cursed tree necessary. Don Fortner wrote this. He says, "The Lord Jesus Christ must die at Jerusalem as he did because God the Father purposed it from all eternity." You can read about it in Acts 2, verse 23. He goes on to say, "Our dear Savior had to die at Jerusalem in order to fulfill his covenant engagements for us. Our Lord Jesus voluntarily assumed all responsibility for our souls in the covenant of grace, but once he assumed that responsibility, he must also fulfill it. He is honor-bound to do so." And we can read about that in Genesis 43, John 10, and Acts 13. Continuing on, he says, "It is absolutely necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to die as he did upon the cursed tree, lifted up from earth, in order for the holy Lord God to save us from our sins." And we read about that in Romans 3 and John 3. If God would save us from our sins, he could only do it this very way, because righteousness must be maintained, sin must be punished, and justice must be satisfied, forgiveness must be legitimate, and the love of God must be blameless. Our Lord was not in any way compelled or by any outside of anything of himself to save anyone, but having determined to save some of Adam's fallen race, he could not do so except by upon the grounds of justice satisfied. He was not compelled to save us, but having chosen to save us, he could not do so except for by the sacrifice of his own dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where we read in Proverbs 16:6, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." So let's consider the last part of this verse that we read back in our text of Luke chapter 22. It says, "For the things concerning me have an end." All of them. All of the things that are written throughout scriptures. In the Old Testament, all things decreed from eternity concerning him, he said, have an end. In other words, what he's saying is this: everything decreed, everything purposed, everything written concerning himself have a specific design, a specific goal, and an intent, a conclusion, a termination, predestined result, and a divinely ordained finality. When he who knew no sin was made sin for us, when he, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, was made a curse for you and I, when he had suffered all the fullness of God's wrath upon himself and the justice as our substitute, our Lord cried out what? That's right. Anybody got any idea what that meant? It's finished. The whole thing. Salvation is of the Lord, is it not? "Father, into thy hands," he says, "I commend my spirit." And then our Lord reverently bowed his head as an obedient servant. Oh. Oh, what it is to serve the highest servant. He whose work was finished, presenting himself to the Father, gave up the ghost. And at that moment, all things decreed, written of him, had achieved their goal. It was a predestined result. People don't like that word predestination, but it's throughout scriptures. It's not just talking about some of those who walk this earth. It's talking about everything. Predestination means everything was predetermined. Everything has been decreed by our Lord. All of the prophecies of the Old Testament scripture have been fulfilled. They have ended. Our Lord fulfilled them all. The law of God ended, as we read in Romans 10:4. The fury, the wrath, the vengeance of divine justice was ended for him and for all his people. Our Lord Jehovah declares this for his chosen. He says, "Fury is not in me." That's in Isaiah 27:4. He says, judgment ended for his redeemed. Our sin and guilt before God is ended. And you can read about it in Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, Colossians 2, 1 Peter 4, and Romans 8. How we ought to rejoice and give thanks to our God for the fact that the designed purpose of our Savior in coming into this world has had its end. Does it not bring a tear to your heart? I don't cry maybe as I used to, but I remember a time when that song, Amazing Grace, I could not help but tear up thinking about how wonderful my Lord's love for me and what he did going to that cross. That tear still occurs in my heart every time I sing it. Every time I hear someone else sing it. I close this morning's study with the verses from John 13:31 where we read, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Amen.